Welcome to the Better Leaders, Better Schools podcast, where educators go to find inspiration and learn world-class strategies from top leaders across the globe. Better Leaders, Better Schools was created by Danny Sunshine Bauer.
This is a bonus episode with Justin Bader. Hi there, my name is Danny Sunshine Bauer. I'm a former classroom teacher and school administrator turned life and leadership coach. I'm also the host of this podcast where each week I share my conversation with top leaders across the globe to help you accelerate your leadership development. In today's show with Justin Bader, we explore a number of interesting topics like the story behind writing his new book, Now We're Talking, why 3 classroom visits a day matters, 10 questions for better feedback, and should we discontinue walkthroughs? Dun, dun, dun. You like that? Thanks for spending some time with me listening to this podcast. I hope you enjoy the show. But before we jump into the episode, I'd like to take some time to thank our show sponsors. I'd like to share an amazing free resource for all listeners of the Better Leaders, Better Schools podcast. It's the Top 10 School Fundraising Ideas for 2017. And that's available at schoolzonepodcast.com. And just like the title says, you get the top 10 school fundraising ideas for 2017 at schoolzonepodcast.com. Well, hey there, Better Leaders. Just a few weeks ago, I think it was episode 119, we had Justin Bader, the director of the Principal Center, over here for the second time on the podcast. Well, guess what? He's here now for the third time. We can't get enough of what he's doing at the Principal Center. And so if you haven't heard of Justin before, just real quick, he's the director of the Principal Center where he helps school administrators build capacity for instructional leadership. Justin's the creator of the Instructional Leadership Challenge, which has helped more than 10,000 leaders in 50 countries around the world get into classrooms and improve teaching and learning in their schools. He's also the host of the Principal Center Radio, my second favorite podcast, and the author of Now We're Talking, 21 Days to High Performance Instructional Leadership. Justin, thanks for joining me again on the show.
Well, hey, Daniel, great to be here, and thanks for having me back.
So we have this new book out, Now We're Talking, 21 Days to High Performance Instructional Leadership. That's got to feel great to add that, you know, to the professional libraries of all our listeners. But just tell us the story of the idea behind the book and what you're hoping to accomplish with it.
Yeah, well, I really wanted to help people get into classrooms and just start taking action. And, you know, I also have in my head this kind of 21 days to highfalutin instructional leadership, you know, this kind of sophisticated model that, you know, ultimately I think we should be practicing. But what I found from talking with people and reflecting on my own practice is that it really starts with action. You know, all of the big ideas, the ambitions to provide really, really good feedback, you know, it all starts with taking action. So that's what I wanted to help people do in the book. And over a 21-day period, people can go through, you know, chapter by chapter and just figure out, okay, what am I going to do today? How is that going to fit with my unique role and the culture of my unique school? And whatever that turns out to be for your school, whatever needs to be done, I hope that it's a vehicle or a structure that can work for everyone and that can help every instructional leader get into classrooms more.
And I love this idea of, you know, challenges that we face, there's barriers, but you're really trying to get people to take action. I'm curious, can you give us a bit of a preview or how could you encourage the listener to take action and overcome those obstacles?
Yeah, well, I think we usually start with like, what is the ultimate problem that we want to solve? And because as school leaders, we face so many different problems, you know, every school has unique challenges and unique opportunities to grow. So what I wanted to encourage people to start with is just a simple habit of visiting 3 classrooms a day. So 3 classrooms a day, every day for, you know, 5, 10, 15 minutes, not too long, not too short, but enough time that you can get into a classroom and learn. Because I think whatever challenge we're facing as administrators, part of the answer, part of the key to addressing that challenge effectively lies in the classroom. You know, whatever we need to do is going to become clear to us when we spend more time in classrooms. So rather than say, okay, you need to use this form or this template or provide this kind of feedback, we might get there. We might discover that that's the case for a particular situation. But I think it all starts with getting into classrooms and right alongside that, talking with teachers.
I don't know about you, but I had enough on my plate just thinking about how to operate a building and how to develop my people. That was enough. And that doesn't even include parents. That doesn't even include student issues. And it definitely doesn't include where am I going to find the funding to run all the great programs my students deserve. Well, the great news is I have an amazing free resource for you, the Top 10 School Fundraising Ideas for 2017. That's available at schoolzonepodcast.com. In this guide, you will be exposed to the best fundraising ideas for schools in 2017. And my favorite company that's described in the guide is School Spirit Vending. The reason School Spirit Vending rises above the rest is because they make fundraising so incredibly hassle-free. What if a company would come in, install vending machines with customized stickers? That's right, stickers that had your logo, that had your mascot, that had whatever you and your students wanted installed. They come in, they take care of the machines. You do no work besides having the machines installed in the school, and you get a cut of the profit. That's where you're going to find money to actually run these programs. So check out the Top 10 School Fundraising Ideas for 2017 at schoolzonepodcast.com and definitely give School Spirit Vending a call. Tell them Danny Sunshine sent you. I'm curious, do your raving fans ever ask you, okay, what if I don't get into three today? I'll do 10 tomorrow or whatever. I'm just curious because I have some folks in the mastermind that follow everything and consume everything you do as well. One of the mastermind members kind of brought that up. And it made me think of Jim Collins, you know, in that 20-mile march. And I was wondering if it's sustainable, that ebb and flow, or if you should just like really be much more rigid with it. And that's the goal, like three a day, three a day, three a day, no more, no less. I'm just curious how you'd answer that.
Yeah. And I think there's definitely a time of year to, you know, to flex that up. Like at the beginning of the year, I think it's really powerful to just get around to kind of be visible, to make an appearance in every classroom first couple of days of school so that it's not weeks and weeks before people see you. But I do like that consistent target, you know, even though every day is very different. I think when you have a consistent target, it forces you to hold yourself accountable and to kind of do what you need to do with the rest of your work to keep your eyes fixed on that target. And I think there's a big self-efficacy reason to have a consistent target. You know, it can be so frustrating when you have an interruption, you have an emergency, you had all these things on your to-do list that you wanted to get done. And the reality is that that's just not going to happen every day, right? We can make the best plan for the day ever. You know, we can get it minute by minute. We can get our to-do list perfectly organized and prioritized. But just the nature of school leadership is that we are not going to be able to follow that plan 100%. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You have those days where everything just kind of, you know, goes out the window and you've got to respond to the needs of your students and your staff and families. So I think if we have that target in mind and say, okay, I may not be able to get everything on my list done, but I am going to get into classrooms, I think it has a huge effect on both our self-efficacy when we hit that target and on our productivity in everything else that we do, because there's this kind of, I think this phenomenon was discovered first in dieting, where after a certain point, you know, like if I have a piece of cake, I'm more likely to say, you know, to heck with the whole thing. I'm just going to toss it out for the day and I'll have two pieces of cake or three pieces of cake. And I think we kind of do the same thing with our productivity, where as soon as we get off track a little bit, we tend to just say, I'll do the best I can, but this is, you know, this day is kind of shot. So rather than just let everything go out the window, even on the busiest days, I think if we can get into classrooms three times, that gives us an anchor. And it also kind of centers us, you know, in the work that really matters in our schools, right? Because we get so tied up in paperwork, we get so tied up in discipline, we get so tied up in maybe the politics of various issues, that just going and sitting in a classroom and watching kids learn and watching teachers teach and talking with them, like, I think that's ultimately what it's really all about. So the more we can get back to that, the more we can stay on track and everything else.
The image of an anchor, I think, is so calming, you know, and peaceful to me. And this idea of, like you said, self-efficacy. And, you know, I think about the momentum too, that you would build just trying to hit that target of 3 observations a day. There's a lot, like you said, you know, to quote you, power in this consistency. So I appreciate you unpacking that a bit. Since we go to the classrooms, right? Now we're there and we're conducting those observations. I'm curious how you approach that and how you would define feedback. In a Facebook group that I really enjoy called Principal Life recently, somebody just threw out, you know, listen, I'm a new administrator. What do you do when you go to a classroom? So how would you answer that? And how do you define feedback?
Yeah, I think that's a huge issue for us, because as teachers, probably our number one experience, or the most common experience, is almost no feedback, right? Like, most people just did not have administrators in their classrooms very much when they were teachers. So when we become administrators, we kind of figure out, okay, I want to be in classrooms more than anybody was in my classroom as an administrator, but what do I do? And of course, we go to feedback. And I think that the best frame for looking at feedback really is conversation. You know, if you are a new administrator, especially, you know, we all start as new administrators. I certainly started as a new administrator. And I found that I didn't really have a ton of, like, oh, here's what you're doing wrong, here's what you need to fix, feedback for my best teachers. So I would just, you know, go in and observe for a while, and then, not really having any, you know, giant corrective feedback to share, I would just start a conversation. You know, hey, how did this go? What, you know, how does this kind of aspect of your class work? And I would just go in to learn and really to listen. And what I found was that there were things that I needed to do to keep that conversation on track, because, you know, a lot of the time people would rather not have that conversation with you, even if it's a nice conversation, they would rather be left alone. So, you know, so we got to do something more than just say, hey, how's it going? But I think if we keep conversation as kind of our real definition of feedback, then I think it's useful a lot more than the idea of kind of directive feedback is. Because, you know, if I have a veteran staff, you know, I had a lot of staff who'd been in my school for 10 or 15 years, you know, and I'd been there one day and I realized, you know, they're not going to listen to me. I don't know what to tell them because they're already great. And if I'm going to figure out what's going to help them get even better, I'm going to have to kind of keep my mouth shut a little bit and do some listening to really figure that out. And of course, everyone, even the best teacher, has so much room to grow. Even the greatest teacher, you know, you go in and you see just the perfect lesson and the kids are just with it. And the kids who are struggling are just being redirected and they're really getting engaged in their learning. And you think, man, this is an incredible class. I wish I had classes like this growing up. You know, I wish all my teachers were this great. And it's really hard to find something on the spot that that teacher could be doing better. But we know there's always something. But the better the teacher, the more deeply in their practice that opportunity for improvement is buried. And if we want to find it, we've got to talk. We've got to get into conversation.
Love how you break that down. I have a mastermind member. Shout out to Eileen. We love you. She's taken one of your courses, and you unpack how to approach, you know, those high level teachers too. Cause a lot of us, school leaders, it's like, okay, how do we improve a perfect lesson, you know, or one that's basically 98 out of 100? Like, how do we push them from good to great? And I know that, your framework and your approach has really, helped out Eileen. And it was wonderful to hear, within one of our mastermind sessions. So yeah, I just highly encourage everybody. We're going to talk about, you know, different ways you could work with Justin. But if you are not part of the Principal Center, you know, tribe yet, you got to get over there and definitely engage with all his content, because it is absolutely top notch.
Well, thanks, Daniel. Yeah, I've really enjoyed talking with Eileen as part of the High Performance Instructional Leadership Certification Program. And she's just had some incredible insights to share on the feedback situations that she's found herself in, and the teachers that she's working with. So yeah, I think that conversation is so powerful, you know, because I think we're given kind of a one-size-fits-all model that says the administrator's job is to tell the teacher what they're doing well and what they're doing poorly and what to do differently to improve. And I think the reality is, you know, beyond a certain point, for new teachers, you can do that. But beyond a certain point, you can't just tell. You know, we have to actually have a conversation with each other. And I think that's where the real power and potential of classroom visits is.
This podcast is a proud member of the Education Podcast Network.
podcast for educators and podcast by educators. Listen to all the great education podcasts at edupodcastnetwork.com. That's edupodcastnetwork.com.
So in the pre-chat, we were talking a bit about your flagship free course, the 21-day instructional challenge, which again, you know, I highly recommend. I took that as an assistant principal, and it really helped me out a lot in terms of just getting into that consistent rhythm of being in classes and observing, providing feedback. So thank you for designing it. And I know that you want to make some changes and make it even better. So can you talk about the 21-day instructional challenge a bit and also the vision you have for the program?
Yeah, absolutely. So the 21-day challenge became kind of the first draft of the book and made a lot of changes, a lot of improvements to the model in response to feedback. Got to talk with a lot of great thinkers in our profession, like Kim Marshall, who gave me feedback on the model that I shared in the challenge. So the book represents kind of the next iteration or the, you know, kind of a much more in-depth version of that model. So now what I'm doing is I'm going back to the challenge and, you know, a lot of the advice that's in the challenge, I think everything in there is great, but it ended up being too much. And the biggest problem we've had with the 21-day challenge is that people don't finish it. People get overwhelmed. It's too many emails. It's too many videos. It's, you know, it's just very intense. So what we're trying to do is figure out, okay, what are the different situations that people are in, whether a principal, an assistant principal, an aspiring administrator, maybe someone who is becoming an administrator but is in a full-time classroom role. So I'm looking to customize that for people in different situations so that it maximizes your opportunity for learning and for professional growth and to increase your impact, you know, over that 21-day period, whatever role you're currently in as an instructional leader. So I'd love to have people's feedback on that and collecting input. Love to know more about your challenges. And yeah, maybe we can put a link in the show notes to that that kind of questionnaire that I have for people.
Absolutely. Yeah, definitely.
That would be greatly appreciated. And then one thing that I can share with people if they're interested in is 10 questions for better feedback. So we talked a little bit about the idea of conversation as kind of the best frame for feedback. You know, we also touched on the idea that if I just say, hey, how's it going today? You know, how did you think your lesson went? Often that's going to result in deflection. The teacher's going to say, oh yeah, it went exactly as planned. You know, bye. You know, you can go now.
Get out of my
kind of response. Right. You know, I'm busy. I've got another class to prepare for. So knowing that there's a temptation for those conversations to just kind of go nowhere if we don't bring some structure to it, I really believe, to kind of segue here a little bit, I really believe that the best way to structure those conversations is through evidence-based questions. I guess, Daniel, the big problem that I saw with a lot of the feedback forms and the templates and the data collection approaches that were being used in classroom walkthroughs is that too often we're looking for things that aren't there. Like I'm looking to collect data on formative assessment and I walk in the classroom and oh, the teacher's not doing formative assessment right at that moment. And I'm frustrated because like, oh, I came to collect data on formative assessment and it's just not the right time in the lesson. They're doing something else that's good. I don't want them not to do that. I don't want them to do formative assessment just because that's what I'm looking for. So I realized that I needed a more flexible way to kind of guide my attention when I was in the classroom. So what I started doing personally in my practice as a school principal was I just started taking notes, you know, just like you would do in a formal observation. I would just write down specific things that the teacher was saying and doing and what the students were saying and doing and, you know, anything I can see about the work that students were doing. And then I decided, all right, I might have in my head what I want to see in this lesson, but the teacher has a plan, right? And often I don't know what that plan is if I'm just popping in. So rather than try to look for something that's not there and talk about that and say, hey, why didn't you do this? Why didn't you do that? You know, there's an infinite number of things that the teacher could be doing at any given moment that they're not doing because they're doing something else. So I thought, why don't we just talk about whatever it is that actually happened and make it an evidence-based conversation? And everybody hears that phrase evidence-based and we think, okay, well, sure, of course I want to have evidence-based conversations. But if you look at the normal practice in our profession when it comes to walkthroughs, often it's not evidence-based. It's, why didn't you do this? Why didn't you do that? I have a list of things that you should be doing when I visit your classroom. Why aren't you doing those things? Mm. You know, which is not evidence-based. You know, we have these look-fors as administrators that don't really respect the fact that teachers are responsible for planning their own lessons. Like, I don't want to be responsible for what goes in every teacher's every lesson, right? Like, that needs to be their decision. I can't micromanage that. And if I have coordinated, it is professional work, you know, and we want to have coordinated expectations. We want to have alignment, but I also want the right level of professional responsibility to be exercised at the right level. Like, I want to be responsible for the school as an instructional leader and for helping teachers, you know, perform at a certain level. You know, that is my responsibility, but I am not the lesson planner. I am not the paper grader. I am not the decision maker on the front lines. I'm the leader of those instructional decision makers on the front lines. And I think that that saves us from a lot of stress and a lot of overwhelm that comes from micromanaging. You know, you've got a big job as a school leader. And if you try to do that job and the job of every single one of your teachers, it becomes impossible very, very quickly. So I came up with 10 questions that could get me into the teacher's thinking based on the evidence that I had collected. So, like, let's say I write something down. I hear a particular quote from students, or I see a look of puzzlement on a student's face, and I kind of take some notes about what's happening in the lesson. And then I bring that up with the teacher and I say, you know, I noticed that so-and-so said this or did that. And then I'll ask a question to get at the teacher's thinking. So one question that I might ask is about context. So I noticed that, you know, Timmy seemed confused when you talked about multiplying fractions. Talk to me about kind of where you are in this unit with multiplying fractions. So if Timmy is confused and it's day one of the unit, Timmy's allowed to be confused on day one, right? There's no problem with that on day one. But, you know, I need to know that context. You know, where are we in this? Because that has a great deal to do with, you know, what that evidence means. So figuring out context. I also like to get at teachers' expectations with a question about kind of comparison. So I noticed that students were doing X. How did that compare with what you had expected to happen when you planned the lesson? Because often we'll notice something that teachers will have noticed as well, and we'll think, well, why did that happen? That shouldn't have happened. Meanwhile, the teacher's sitting there thinking, that's exactly what I wanted to happen. You know, I fully expected Timmy to be confused because this is a formative assessment. We're doing it on day one of the unit, you know, and just kind of getting on the same page about that kind of thing can give us so much more information about teachers' thinking, about teachers' decision-making, and really where they truly are in their professional practice. And we miss out on all of that if we take more of a, you know, I've got a form, I've got a clipboard, I'm just going to collect data, I'm just going to have my look fors and give the teacher feedback on that. If the feedback is a conversation, we all learn more. So I get a little passionate about that. I get on a little bit of a tear about those conversations because I think when we have evidence-based conversations and really get at teachers' thinking, there's just so much more potential to those classroom visits.
Yeah, and I'm glad that you get passionate. You know, this gets us excited as school leaders about, you know, delivering even better feedback, right, to our people to help them develop, to help them reach whatever professional goals they have. And that was just two examples and two questions and two approaches for better feedback out of the 10 that are available. You had that example of Timmy and then the second example of the comparison to what the teacher expected. They're beautiful. And so where can people get the other 8 questions and get all those 10 questions for better feedback?
Yeah, we've got those up at principalcenter.com/feedback. And that's a free PDF. You can just print those out and kind of, you can, you know, copy them down on a little note card if you want, or just print them out, take them with you and glance down at them while you're talking with teachers. You know, anytime you get stuck in a conversation, you think, okay, this lesson was pretty good. I don't want to nitpick because I didn't really see anything that, you know, was glaringly obvious that we need to talk about. So let me just get into the teacher's thinking. You know, these are great questions for doing that because, you know, I think what we tend to do is we tend to ask a why question by default. We tend to say, well, why did you do this? Why did you do that? And we really want to know, and we're not trying to like interrogate the teacher, but they feel that we are. You know, they say, well, I did this because that's what the unit plan says, or because we went to this understanding by design training this summer and they said to do this. And, you know, we put teachers on their heels too much. We make them defensive by asking why questions. So I like to ask, you know, more of how questions, like take me into your thinking, take me into where this fits and how this works. So yeah, principalcenter.com/feedback. We've got a free PDF download there.
Conferences, piles of flyers, getting stuck in endless email lists and never-ending calls. there's an easier way to sort through and identify the best school fundraisers. School Spirit Vending proudly presents the top 10 school fundraising ideas of 2017. It's a guide of the top fundraising companies hand-picked from the best podcast. As an added bonus, this guide lists 5 resource companies that would add tremendous value to your community, school, and students. The best part is that School Spirit Vending is giving the guide away completely free. Are you ready to simplify the search? Download the free guide at schoolzonepodcast.com. All right. Well, Justin, we'll be wrapping up in a second. You know, I've asked you pretty much over the 3 podcast interviews every question that I typically prepare. But something I'm really interested in how you'd answer this. There's a quote by Derek Sivers, which I love. What's ordinary to you is extraordinary to me. So, Justin, what do you consider your superpower?
I would say one of the things that I really enjoy doing is taking things from other worlds and bringing them into our world in education. And I think that's one of your strengths too, Daniel. I know you're a reader. I know you read widely across different different genres and bring things in. So I think along the same lines, one of the things that I'm really interested in is bringing ideas from especially the manufacturing world, which sounds crazy. You know, this is a human business. You know, we're working with people. We're not manufacturing them. We're not treating them like robots or anything like that. But when it comes to quality at the system level, I'm really kind of a systems person. So we're not cogs in the system, but we're people who relate to one another through a system. And I think kind of seeing those system dynamics is kind of one of my superpowers and figuring out, okay, what do we need to do to be more human within that system and more effective within that system, instead of just pretending that it's not a system and we're all just kind of, people mingling about and, just operating without a system. You know, it's there, it's real. And, you know, we've got to see it if we want to improve it.
Okay, just 2 more questions, both of these on the fly, one serious and one just a little bit fun. And I think I might include this to the podcast too. I like this question already. I haven't even asked it, but let me ask you this. Is there a word, an idea, or a practice that we should just stop, that we need to retire in education?
So something we should just quit doing.
Yeah.
You know, I struggle with the word walkthrough, you know, and with the book, now we're talking 21 Days to High Performance Instructional Leadership. We had a debate with our publishing team about whether to even include the word walkthrough in the title of the book. And we decided not to because there's so much baggage around it. So I would say maybe we should stop doing walkthroughs as they're kind of commonly understood in our profession, because it kind of puts our focus on the wrong things, right? It puts our focus on collecting data and telling and policing. You know, I think if we can do, so maybe walkthroughs aren't the problem, but maybe policing is the problem. If we can do less policing as instructional leaders and more learning, I think that would be a fantastic mindset shift and a fantastic shift in practice.
All right, we'll add with the fun question. Well, no, actually, let me ask you this. Is that a good question? Should I keep that on the podcast?
Oh, yeah, I like that. And I often ask a question, like if you could make wave a magic wand and make one thing happen, what would that be? Yes. So I think that's a great, you know, another great angle at that. You know, what do we need to stop doing? Because we always have more that we could start doing, but we've got to stop doing other things in order to do those things that really matter.
Absolutely. Okay, cool. Last question then. Between your bedroom, your office desk, and your car, which is cleaner?
Which is cleaner? Well, at the moment, I just got back from a trip and I just dumped my briefcase on my desk. So right now, the bedroom and the car are cleaner than the desk. And yeah, it's, I'm not like one of those organized for organization's sake kind of people. I teach a lot on productivity and organization, but it's got to be functional. It's got to be in the service of something. So my desk right now is a mess. Got to do some work on that. But
I appreciate that answer. And Justin, thank you so much for being a part of the Better Leaders, Better Schools podcast. Do you have any parting words of advice, and what's the best way to get a hold of you?
Yeah, well, my advice as always is, you know, get into classrooms, talk with teachers, talk with students. And if people want to get in touch with me, my website is principalcenter.com. On Twitter, I'm at EduLeadership, EDU Leadership, and same thing on Facebook. And if people would like to go through the Instructional Leadership Challenge or give me feedback on that, you can go to instructionalleadershipchallenge.com. And Daniel, I'll post the survey there as well.
Great. And better leaders, thank you for investing in yourself today by listening to this podcast. Remember that life's 10% of what happens to you, 90% of how you react to it. Go out there today and be a better leader. Today's podcast is brought to you again by Daniel and Justin. Be better starting today by heading over to betterleadersbetterschools.com. Type Justin in the search bar and the show notes page will pop up. You get the highlights of today's episode, links to all the resources, and the best way to connect. Justin, thanks again for sharing your leadership insights and helping the better leaders be better.
Awesome. Well, Daniel, thank you so much for having me back. Great to speak with you as always.
Better leaders, just a few more things before you take off. If you enjoyed today's episode, make sure you subscribe, rate, and review the show. This helps gives the show some social proof, aka iTunes juice, and encourages new people to listen to the show. If you are a social media junkie, share your biggest takeaway from the show and feel free to tag me on Twitter or Instagram. My handle is Alien Earbud, an anagram for my name, Daniel Bauer. Take the letters, switch them around, and create something interesting and new. That's how I got it. This Sunday is the weekend resource. Do you want to get a short email from me every Sunday where I share the best resources I have come across, links to interesting articles, books, blogs, and podcasts that have challenged my thinking, and a quote that's inspired me and will inspire you as well? If you'd like access to this resource, head over to betterleadersbetterschools.com and join the newsletter at the top of the page. Over 1,000 school leaders subscribe, and I think you'll benefit from it too. In the newsletter, I also share when a new blog or podcast comes out, as well as different opportunities to work with me. Thanks again for listening to the show.